This morning's scripture is taken from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 to 14. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we are coming before you with eager hearts to receive your word. Please make your light shine on us. By your spirit, please give us understanding and transform us with your truth, so we can really show the love of Christ in our lives. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's begin with a simple wonder. Light travels about 3,000 kilometers per second. It crosses the darkness of space and quietly tells the truth about what is there. You cannot hold light in your hands, yet changes everything it touches. It reveals, it warms, it gives life. A single candle in a dark room doesn't argue with the darkness. It simply shines. And the darkness has to move out of the room. And the scriptures uses this picture constantly. Just when we open our Bible in the first verse of the scriptures, we find in the beginning, God create the heavens and the earth, and God said, "Let there be light." And then if we move a little bit in history, God led Israel with a pillar of fire. And then in Psalms 119, we find that his word is lamp to our feet. Moving forward, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And then he told his disciples, "You are the light of the world." So from Genesis to Revelations, light means God's presence, God's truth, and life breaking into what is empty and what is confused. And so now we come to our passage this morning. And to give you a little bit of context, we read last Sunday verses 1 to 7. And verse 7 finished this way: "Do not become partner with them." So Paul has been calling believers away from impurity, greed, idolatry, an empty talk. If you read verses 4 and first verses of chapter 5, he's talking about new identity. And that's what Paul wants to start talking again in these verses. So the first truth that Paul is bringing to our attention here is, remember who you are. Remember who you are. Notice what it says in verses 8 to 10. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. These are some of the strongest identity words that we will find in the New Testament. Notice what Paul says and what he doesn't say. He doesn't say you were in darkness. He says you were darkness. It was not just where we lived. It was who we were. But then he continues and he says, by union with Christ, now you are light in the Lord. This is identity before behavior. Not try harder to be light, but you are light. This is not self-improvement. It is a completely new creation. God didn't give you a list to perform. He has given you a new nature. So that's what Paul is saying in this verse. Remember who you are. You were darkness and now you are light. And because you are light, you must walk as children of light. So, what does this walk in the light looks like? Notice what he says in the following part of this verse. The fruit of light is found in all that is good, right, and true. Notice another beautiful part here. And I'm sorry that I am stressing these little details, but it's so beautiful when he says fruit of the light. He's not talking about works. Because darkness produces work. If you go to verse 11 and you read with me verse 11, it says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Because what it comes from darkness is forced and is heavy, but light produces fruit because it grows from life. It's like a living plant. Light produces fruit. And the fruit Paul is talking here is good, right, and true. Good is what brings life to others. It is kindness that helps, generosity that cheers, and loves that acts. Right is what stays true to God's standard. It means doing what is fair, what is honest and just, even when it costs us. That's the fruit of light, good, right, and true. True is what is true is what corresponds to reality as God defines it. It is living with honesty, sincerity, and faithfulness, not pretending, not performing, just being genuine, just being light. That's the fruit of light. And these three things together describes a life fully illuminated. But remember, Paul is not listing three moral boxes to check in this passage. He is describing what happens when his light shines in your heart and goodness, righteousness, and truth become the fruit of your new nature. This is what we are looking when we see someone that says, I am light. Goodness, righteous, and truth. Imagine a prism. I'm having a hard time with this word. It's not prison or a cell. It's like prism is like this little, the clear piece of glass that splits light. How you call that? Prism. Okay, thank you. I wanted to take it away because it's a hard word for me, but it's a beautiful illustration because when pure light enters, it bursts out as a spectrum of colors. And in the same way, God's light enters our lives and refracts into goodness, righteousness, and truth. That is the result. That's the fruit. Its color reflects something of God's nature in a world that is in darkness. But then Paul adds something beautiful in verse 10. It says, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. He's not changing the subject. He is showing the result. When you walk in the light, you begin to see things differently. The same light that produces fruit also gives clarity, means discernment. Same light that produces fruit is also giving us what is pleasing the Lord. Goodness, soften your heart to love God, to love what God loves. Righteousness teaches your hand to act as He acts. And the truth renews your mind to think as He thinks. And together, that helps us to recognize what pleases the Lord. Discerning is not about rules, again. It's not talking about rules here. It's about a relationship with the light. The closer you walk to the light, the clearer, you will reflect Jesus' light. And so that's how spiritual maturity grows. Not by trying harder, but by walking nearer to the light. The Paul's call is very simple. Walk in the light. Bear its fruit. Let the light guide your judgment day by day. Because this is who you are. You are light. And so when we are light, then our relationship with darkness, it's going to change. Light doesn't negotiate with darkness. It's the opposite. Light exposes darkness. And so that's why Paul talks about our second point here, shine when it is dark. First, be who you are. You are light, but now shine when it is dark. Notice what he says in verses 11 and 12. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. First part is take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but expose. The word expose here means to bring to light, to reveal. Even the meaning has this connotation of denounce what hides in the darkness. So how we do this? How we take no part and expose? The first part is we expose by contrast. We expose by living differently. Light doesn't need to argue with darkness. It simply shines, and the darkness is uncovered. When we live according to God's truth, it reveals what is false around you, even without words. Paul gives us an example earlier in Ephesians chapter 4. Let the thief no longer steal, but work. Rather work. When you work honestly and refuse to take what is not yours, you are exposing dishonesty. You don't have to accuse anyone. Your integrity silently turns the light on. And that's why darkness often feels uncomfortable around the light. It is not only that people love darkness, it is that they want company on it. When you don't join in darkness, your life becomes a silent reminder that there is another way and that there is light. So then we expose darkness by living differently. Think about purity. When you save intimacy for marriage, when you stay faithful to your spouse, when you turn away from what tempts your eyes and heart, you're not condemning anyone. You are simply exposing darkness by contrast, living as light, and light unmasks the lies of our culture and the things that our culture celebrates. And that's what we are hearing often again and again when darkness is saying, keep for yourself whatever you believe. Because darkness doesn't just want freedom to sin. It wants your conformity so that they can stay comfortable in the darkness. And that's why there is this pressure to redefine what is marriage, to normalize impurity and to shame convictions. Because light unmasks what darkness try to hide. And so living differently is exposing darkness. You don't need to shout, but your obedience speaks loudly, presents the light in front of the darkness. But the second way that expose is used is by denouncing. Yes, this part is very hard. We don't like this part because that means that we sometimes, and more often than we need to speak. There are moments when silence is not kindness, it is compromise. And to love people and to tell them the truth and to present them the light can set them free. And that's why we need to speak. This doesn't mean shouting, shaming, or condemning. It means clarity on what pleases God, and then presenting that truth with compassion, with love, with kindness. When someone says at work, it is okay, everybody cheats a little. Light answer with clarity. Honesty still matter. When the culture says pornography is just private entertainment, light answer, what we do in secret shapes our hearts. When the world says everyone defines right and wrong for themselves, light answers, no, God defines reality. He defines what is right and what is wrong. He defines the standard. This is hard. Light, my friends, doesn't need to be loud to shine in the darkness, but need to be spoken, because that is the only way to expose darkness. Think of a doctor who refuses an x-ray because that fracture might upset the patient. That is not mercy. That is not compassion. That is malpractice. Because exposure is the doorway to healing. The light shows what is wrong, so the hands of the grace of God, the hands of the light of Jesus, can set the bones again. And I know that this is becoming very serious. Your faces are very... But there is hope. Notice what verse 13 says. When anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. It's like a riddle, that verse. But what he's trying to tell us is that God does not expose to humiliate us, but to heal us. He reveals darkness to restore us. so that what once hid in shame can shine with grace. Notice how this verse finished. For anything that becomes visible or anything that becomes revealed or exposed, then it's light. The very place of exposure in the darkness becomes the place of light. And so here is the challenge. As children of light, when we refuse to work the works of the darkness, and when we expose them, whether by contrast or by denouncing, we do it not with arrogance, but with compassion. Because, as Paul started this verse 8, once we were darkness. So you cannot point fingers. The grace that illuminates you is the grace that people need. So the goal is not to win arguments, but to bring people to the beautiful light of Jesus that shines in us. We expose darkness with tears, not with triumph. Yes, we refuse what contradicts our new nature, but we reveal the beautiful light of our Savior. And so Paul finishes this passage with a third practical step for us. Wake up and shine. Wake up and shine. Notice verse 14 says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Many professors or scholars believe Paul is quoting an early Christian hymn here, inspired by Isaiah's word, "Arise, shine, for your light has come." It is as if Paul is saying, this ancient promise has now come true. Christ himself is the dawn. Christ himself is the light. And so the call is to awaken. It's not just a command, it's an act of creation. The same voice that once says, "Let there be light," now says to the human heart, "Wake up, arise and shine, for the light has come." That is what happens when light and grace finds us. God doesn't simply tell us to live differently. He gives us life itself. And John Stott captured it perfectly. He says, "Conversion is nothing less than a resurrection from spiritual death." Amen. And that's what Paul is celebrating here. Resurrection, light, breaking into the human heart. Imagine a room that has been closed for years. The curtains down, the air is heavy, the dust is thick. And one morning, someone opens the window and the sunlight floods in. And suddenly you see what is being hidden there. At first, it's messy. The discovery of the things that are in that dark room are messy. But as light continues to shine and the air begins to move, the room begins to change. And warmth returns, life returns, order returns, joy returns. That is what the light of Christ does in us. It exposes, yes, but only so it can restore us. When Christ shines on us, the darkness loses its home. What once hid in shame now becomes a story of mercy. What once felt cold now begins to glow with love. And so Paul here at the end is inviting us to be part of this sunrise. If you belong to the light, you carry that awakening wherever you go because you are light. Maybe someone near you is still asleep, still living under the shadows of guilt and disbelief. You don't wake them by shaming. You wake them by shining, by living differently. So when Christ's light is alive in you, others begin to see the light. Your life becomes an open invitation. Awake, oh sleeper, and Christ will shine on you. So that's our call for this morning. Let the world see in us the same warmth, the same beauty, and the same mercy that once broke into our darkness and made us alive. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus, the light of the world. Yes, Lord, we confess that shadows are still in our hearts. Yet we rejoice that in you we are light. And so teach us to own our identity this morning, to refuse and to reveal the works of darkness, and to awaken and shine in our homes, workplaces, neighborhoods, and give us gentle hearts, please, Lord. This world does not need more shaming words. Give us gentle hearts, gentle words, and courageous voices. Shine on us again until your goodness, righteousness, and truth fill our lives and those surrounding us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.